Matthew chapter 3. I do want to say before that I get started in the message tonight, my wife and my grandson and myself are very grateful to the church for all that you've done for us while we're here, for the love gift and all that you have provided for us, the meals and everything else. Y'all have went out of your way to bless our hearts, and you have. And God will greatly reward you for all your labor in that. When you take care of God's people, God takes care of you. And I was told by Kelly Henson at our Bible conference that how wonderful y'all are to preachers to come and preach for you all here. And he did not hold anything back. He really did tell me a lot of wonderful things in that. That before we knew when we got here that we were going to be blessed. I just want you to know that we're very thankful. This is my first revival meeting. I've never preached one before. I preached at quite a few Bible conferences, but never a revival meeting. And I see now why they're tired when they get done. It's a lot of preaching. A lot of studying, a lot of work when you get there. But it is a rewarding thing also. And the grace and blessings of the Lord. The message I have for you tonight is probably one I should have preached this morning, but I don't arrange my messages. The Lord arranges them for me. And I firmly believe that God gives me the outlines that He wants me to preach and the times He wants me to preach them. So while I find tonight, on a cold, wet, wintry night, that you all are the most faithful in the church, we are going to preach on works, as Brother Lesage said this morning. And this message here ties together the other messages we had. We start with the messages we had on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, all talking about the salvation that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. And tonight we come to the climax of it all when we talk about what we owe God. See, people sometimes forget what they owe the Lord. What we owe God is everything. We have a hard time sometimes serving the Lord the way He wants to be served. But let's not forget, our God is a jealous God. And He wants no one or nothing standing in front of Him. He wants to be in front of everything else. I heard two people talking one day, two atheist people, talking on the radio one day. And they were talking about, Imus was one of them, and he had some guy, I can't remember his name, Ray or something, that's on his show. And I didn't know Imus was an atheist until I heard that show. And they were talking about, in order to be a Christian, you have to separate yourself from your families and everything else around you and just serve the Lord. Well, that's not true. That's a lie and a bit of hell. You don't have to do away with anything. You just have to put the Lord first, because that's where He deserves to be. Before any of us, before our families, before our health, before anything else, the Lord deserves to be first. Let's not forget what God done for us. Ever forget what God has done for us. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, He says, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." So I titled the message tonight, "How are your fruits?" How do you do in the department of paying God back for what God has done for us? We all need to think about that. The Lord tells us to examine ourselves. The word meet here means deserving, suitable, as if drawing praise, a due reward. And as we look at that definition, and we look at that scripture, we see that we're supposed to bring forth the fruits that are deserving to God, to honor and to glorify our Lord. He saved us for a reason. I know now He saved me to pastor a church. A deacon would know that He saved him to deacon a church. A treasurer, a clerk, or something else. But there's always something Christians can do
to place God up front and to honor, glorify, and work for Him. There's a lot more to working for the Lord than just going to church. There's a world out there that needs to be witnessed to. You say, well, I talk to people all the time and it does no good. Talk to them more and more and more. You never give up. We don't know who the elect are, and we certainly don't know what their due time to be saved, if they are the elect, is. Sometimes we preach to people for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, before they ever come to know the Lord. I've told you of a couple members of our church that come to know the Lord after I got there. And it's not because I talked them into it, it's because I preached the gospel to them. And they heard it for the first time, and it changed them. And thank God it did, because there's a lot of church members that don't know the Lord, and they think they do. We've always found them. In Matthew chapter 7, a few chapters over, in verse 16, he says in verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bring forth. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And I like to ask people, when they look at you and they examine you in the world, can they tell that you are a Christian? Is your life structured such around the Lord and around the Word of God that when people see you, they know there's something different about you? They know that you are unusual to them. And sometimes they will hate you for it, and sometimes they will love you for it, and they'll want what you have. You are a witness for the Lord. You work for a company, like I do. I drive a truck for a company, I go out, and the most of our customers, I'm the only one they ever meet. Sometimes you go out into the world, out into Baton Rouge and the surrounding areas, and people see you, you may be the only Christian they come in contact with for a long time. Now, I've seen some Christians, I've seen some church members that don't exactly meet their fruits for the repentance that God has given to them. We always sometimes misunderstand what God wants for us. But I'm telling you now, what God wants from us as church members, as Christians, is to do His blessed will. True repentance is an inward thing, and it has a seat in the heart. That is where God communicates with us. He communicates in our hearts. And whatever God is communicating with us is what we ought to be doing as Christians, as church members. And that is to carry the gospel to the world and all the other things that churches are to do, to help others and to do for others. Sometimes I'll help people that come by. They're just stray people that come by and all they want to do is ask for money. And sometimes I give it to them. Most times I give them something. And they wander on their way, and a lot of people get on to me for doing that. You know what? You never know what that little gift is going to help them. And maybe God will use it to the advantage of saving their souls. We never know. My wife's grandmother, most of her life, took tracts. And every time she'd mail a bill, we didn't do it online then. So every time she'd mail a bill, she'd stick a tract in that bill and mail it. And someone asked her, said, "Miss May," said, "do you know if they ever read them or they just take them out and throw away?" She said, "It doesn't matter." She said, "They're getting it." It's just like taking the gospel to the world. A lot of people don't want to hear it, but you're doing what God told us to do, aren't you? We're taking the gospel to the world. If you'll turn to John chapter 15, Your fruits are a gift from God. You're not a good song leader because you're a good song leader. You're a good song leader because God made you that way. You're a good piano player because God made you that way. And you're a good pastor, Brother Jerry, because God made you that way. And his beautiful wife is a lovely wife and a supportive wife because that's what God made her. See, we're not what we are because we're good people. We are what we are by the grace of God. And therefore, the works that we do is no different than the salvation we receive of God. It's all the gift of God. You know what you know about the Scriptures and understand what you understand about the Scriptures because God has given you that ability. You wonder sometimes why that all the people don't understand the way you do. It's not because they're dumber than you. It is because God hasn't blessed them as much as He's blessed you. If you have much knowledge on the Scripture tonight, it is because God has blessed you with that knowledge. Notice in John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And the reason he is because, first of all, he saved your soul. Second of all, he gave you the ability to walk in the light as he's in the light. And it's in that light that we have the best fellowship with the Lord. I tell people a lot, and I warn people a lot, any time that people fail to do proper works in their life, any time people fail to go to church, they fail to tithe, they fail to do this, they fail to do that, they fail to seek what God will have them to do in the church, I guarantee you there's something for everybody to do in the Lord's church. And therefore, when people fail to do these things, and they'd rather go to a ball game than go to church, or they'd rather to get a better job and work on Sunday than go to church, if they do these things, they are going against the Lord, because the Lord told us to worship, and that's what we're supposed to do. The Lord told us how to conduct our lives, and that's what we're supposed to do. We owe it to God as Christians to give Him the glory of our works. Every single solitary thing we do ought to be to bring honor unto the Lord. This is the reason I have a lot of issue with church members that don't want to follow the will of the Lord. But thank God for church members like yourselves that's here on a cold winter night to hear the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, the Lord said, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto glory and praise of God." That which is righteous in the heart produces the fruit. Are the results of the fruits. We will be seen in life, and those fruits are honesty, truthfulness, charity, kindness, meekness, goodness. The wish of the apostle here is that they might show abundantly by their lives that they are truly the righteous of God. It's not good for a Christian to lie or to be dishonest in anything. This is the reason I try to tell Christians, don't be car salesmen. I've dealt with them. And believe me, even church members, I've dealt with them, and they weren't that honest. Honest Charlie is not always honest. But nonetheless, it's in our everyday life. If you tell someone something, you hold to your truth. God is truth. That's not what He does. He don't tell the truth. He don't do the truth.
God is truth. That's what He is. God is righteousness. God is honesty. See, God can't go against anything that He is. So He can't be a liar. He can't be dishonest. He can't exaggerate. Because God is holy in all of His ways, and therefore, everything He does must be based on the things that He is. Therefore, if someone was to tell you that when Christ was on the mountain with the devil, that He was maybe going to give in to temptation, they are sinning. Anytime we say something about God that isn't true, it's a sin. Jesus would never and could never have ever taken to the temptation of Satan. So therefore, God will never do anything unrighteous. It's just like these school shootings and things. They'll ask, well, where was God? God's there. God controls everything. Don't ever say, where's God? Because I'm going to tell you, He's not just here. He's everywhere. God is omnipresent. There's no place in the entire creation He's not all at one time. So let's not forget our God. Colossians 1, if you will. And let's not forget to be more like our Lord, and that is honest and trustworthy and kind and gentle and meekness. I've tried to tell the church at Texarkana over and over and over again. We are to be a kind and generous people. We cannot be a people that run around and worry about if you give a bum $10 because he asked for it, if he's going to go out and buy wine or not. If he goes out and buys wine, God will take care of that. If you got someone that's really in need, we ought to help them. We ought to help them. And they don't have to be church members. They can be your neighbor. And you know what? You have just made a glorious witness for the Lord. I don't care if they appreciate it or not. You've just made a glorious witness for the Lord. You never know. Well, you never know when someone might take your kindness and generosity or see your fruits, and it changed their life later. God can use anything, folks. He don't have to have anything to use. God's already foreordained to save a remnant of people, and they're all going to be saved. He don't have to have me. He don't have to have Brother Jerry. He don't have to have this church or our church. God's going to make sure they get saved. And therefore, the election of God is sure. In Colossians 1, verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. That's what we're to do. We're to do this thing. Walk worthy of the Lord. That's what he just asked us in our opening text, wasn't it? And therefore, are your fruits, meaning, are they good enough? Are they just payment back to God for what he's done for you in salvation? If they are, then you're doing well. But he says here to walk worthy of the Lord. How do you walk worthy of the Lord? You walk worthy according to what they have written in this book, according as God has penned and caused every one of them to pen every letter of it. Read it. Don't make excuses for it and obey it. That's our job. So many Christians, they fail and they do so much that is not honoring unto the Lord. And you try to tell them, I've got someone to talk to when I get home. You try to tell them, we owe the Lord our life. We owe the Lord everything. It doesn't matter if I get a disease or if I break a leg and can't work. God's going to take care of me. I'm in the hands of God. And God's going to supply everything I need. All my life has been preordained of the Lord.
That's right.
Whatever happens in it, it's because that's what God wanted for me. Therefore, we are just to go along in life. And one thing I'm going to tell you now, it might surprise you, is you have been appointed unto death. All of us. If Jesus don't come soon, we're all going to die.
That's right.
We're going to die of a car wreck. I preached 3 of my family's funerals. And I've just been asked by my mother to preach hers. And by God's grace, I'm going to do it. But I preached 2 of my brother's funerals. One was 47, and the other was 50. I preached my nephew, who was a cop, who got killed in a car accident, and he was 37. And it's hard. It's hard to look at my mother when a 47-year-old son has died or a 50-year-old son has died. And my brother and his wife, when their 37-year-old son has died. It's difficult. It's hard. Ask Brother Jerry. He'll tell you, it's difficult. And to preach their funerals, all you can do is point them to the Lord. My sister-in-law asked me, he said, Randy, what am I going to do now? I said, what you're going to do is you're going to ask God for strength. And you're going to go out and you're going to do something to bring praise and glory and honor unto the Lord. Don't ever be angry with God. Because God has always ordained our lives. And He knows what we have need of before we ever ask.
That's right.
And the reason He does is because our entire life focuses around Him. He is the center of our lives, folks. We are His children. We belong to Him. If you'll turn to James 3. In James chapter 3, verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Everything from God is pure. There's no corruptness in God at all. If He gives you anything, it's pure. If He gives you a blessing, it's pure. It's unconditional. God doesn't require us to do anything for a blessing. He just gives it to us. See, we don't have to work for God, and we don't have to do works for Him to receive a blessing. He'll give it to us anyway. Every day I wake up to a blessing. But I owe God more than I will ever pay Him. If I lived to be 1,000,000 years, I'd never repay God for what He's done for me. If I lived as a bum in this world all of my life, I still owe God more than I could ever repay Him. See, my life with the Lord is not what I have. It's what I have in Christ. It's what I have in my Lord. That's all that matters to me. This world and the things of it don't matter to me. So all I care about in this life is to honor, praise, and glorify and do for the Lord. So he says here that they are from above. The works of wisdom that is from above is pure. They are peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, God's all about peace. He's all about making peace. We're not warriors for the Lord in that we go out and fight battles. We're not to change this world. You know, I get involved in politics sometimes, and it's stupid. Why would I ever get involved in politics? I don't know. I just do. It's ignorant, but I do it. I'm not going to change anything. My vote's not going to change anything. You know what? The politicians are not going to change anything because as soon as they get to Washington, they get corrupted. It's a corrupt city. And nothing's going to change anything. God has ordained this world to be what it is. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is the ordained will of God. And I know it's hard to tell people that. When you have a Katrina.
Right. or when you have other hurricanes, or you have a school shooting where children get killed. But I'm telling you right now, there is not a thing that happens that God does not have control of. Nothing in our lives. Sounds like it's really coming down there, doesn't it? So anyway, I wrote a little something down here from John Gill. I know you love John Gill. Spiritual works are pure in itself. It is free from everything that is earthly, carnal, devilish. It produces purity in the heart and the purity of life and conversion, and is the means of keeping persons pure and chaste and free from impure lust, lust of uncleanness, pride, envy, wrath, which prevail in carnalness and unregenerated men. We're not unregenerated men. We are men that have been saved by the grace of God. And we are not to act like this world, folks. We are not part of the world. Our home is not the earth, it's far beyond the blue. As Christians, as believers, as a receptacle of God's grace and a receptacle of Jesus Christ's blood, let's keep ourselves pure for the Lord. He's cleansed the churches, made them as pure as virgins. Our Lord is so wonderful. God gives exactly right. Real quickly, Philippians 4. And I'm going to end with this scripture. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. For the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Praise the Lord. Keep our hearts and our minds toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do them in your life. Do them for the Lord. Do them so that your meat is just to the Lord and a just payment for what God has done for you. And the peace and the God of peace shall be with you. Not that any man can purify or cleanse himself from sin. This is only owing to the grace of God and the blood of Christ. Nor that any man can be so pure and holy as Christ is. We can't do that. We are what we are, aren't we, in this life? So we'll never be exactly what God is or Christ is. But we can in Christ be pure, can't we? Who is free from all sin. We suffer sin every day, don't we? We fight it every day, don't we? It's all around us. Everywhere we go, out of homes, on that TV, that idiot box they used to call them. I still think they're idiot boxes. But we have two of them in our home. But still, those things, there's nothing on them worth watching anymore. Is there? But that we can, after salvation, walk the walk of Christ. They were first called Christians in Antioch as the followers of Christ. That's what we ought to be, folks, the followers of Christ. And keeping ourselves pure in our lives. Leaving childish things behind us. Pleasing God instead of the old flesh. because the temptation is there. The temptation is great. See, people don't sin and turn from the Lord because they enjoy it. They sin and turn from the Lord because they can't overcome the temptation that's out there in the world. They succumb to it. And next thing you know, they're not even going to church anymore. And they're not giving God meat for the repentance that He's given to them. How horrible it is. I pray to God every day that God will hold me steady, that God will hold me faithful to His Word and to His church. I'd hate to know. I warn people all the time. I know, you brother here, I know you're like a lot of my church members. You say, I'll never do what I've seen others do. Brother, don't ever say never. I've seen great preachers, wonderful men of the Lord. I've seen wonderful church members, men of truth, women of truth, fall away from the Lord. I tell my church members many times over, don't listen to the heathen out there. Don't listen to, you owe them nothing. People tell you you owe it to them to at least listen. I owe them nothing. I owe everything to the Lord. And God would not have me to be listening to them. The pastor died, and I didn't personally know him, but I was given a bunch of his books. And the fellow that gave me the books told me, he said, well, there's some books in there that's not true. He said he had them so that he could argue with them. Excuse me? I mean, I love him and appreciate him, his ministry and everything. But I'm not going to take my time to read someone that tells not the truth just to hear what they have to say, to argue with them. I don't owe them no argument. The God is, His Word is absolute truth. I need nothing else. If they don't believe me, they can go home. I don't care one way or the other, because God saves sinners and I can't change them. If they can't hear the truth, if they can't handle the truth, then him and I have nothing in common as far as the Lord is concerned. Now, we may both be Cowboy fans, or y'all might be LSU fans with them, but you owe them nothing. And keep yourselves pure for the Lord. We all owe it to the Lord every day of our lives to serve the Lord in every possible way. Thank you once again for your generosity, and I thank your pastor for everything he's done. He's come and gotten us at the motel, taken us to different places, and I'm just very grateful. Maybe someday the Lord will allow me to come back and preach for you once again. It's hard for me to get away, I have to tell you. And maybe someday the Lord will allow me to come back and visit with y'all. But it's been good meeting all of y'all. And y'all have been a blessing to my family. And thank you for all you've done.